Over NBC's coast-to-coast network of independent affiliated stations, the University of Chicago Roundtable. Today, the Roundtable discusses how can we lessen East-West tensions. Taking part in today's Roundtable are Pastor Martin Niemöller, a distinguished German clergyman, now in this country speaking for the World Council of Churches, John Nuveen, investment banker in Chicago, and Herman Feiner, political scientist of the University of Chicago. And now to introduce today's transcribed discussion, Mr. Feiner.
The occasion of the round table today is the presence of Pastor Niemöller in the United States for a speaking tour in the interests of world peace. This visit offers us the opportunity, once again, of applying our minds to the supremely tragic issue of our time, world peace, and in particular, whether the fundamental trouble, the warlike tensions between Russia and the Western nations, can be relaxed without involving war as the means. Can we handle the frightening tangle of international relations as one whole, by one complete across-the-board agreement, dependent on each party's being able to trust the other? Or is it possible to make progress by handling one thread of a skein at a time, a single and limited issue? For example, Pastor Niemöller believes that if Germany could be unified and then, as a whole, remained unarmed, tension would be so relaxed as to contribute more to peace than any other single act. Is this reasoning sound? Is it feasible to isolate the problem of Germany? What would have to be paid for this, and by whom, in terms of whose security and peace of mind? Of course, the further away one lives from the Soviet frontiers, as we do in the United States, the more likely are men and women to consider the problems of war and peace on a very big paper map of a very big, spacious paper world. Can the churches, working upon their governments, help achieve the success of peaceful coexistence when their governments seem to be failing? Pastor Niemöller is an official of the German Evangelical Church. Hitler imprisoned him in concentration camps for 8 years. In the January of this year, he visited the Soviet Union at the invitation of the Patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church, in the belief that perhaps contact between the churches of Germany and Russia might contribute to a peaceful relationship between the two nations. Pastor Niemöller is very far indeed from being an apologist for communism or the rulers in Moscow. Pastor Niemöller, I wonder if you would comment on these possibilities and perplexities.
I have been many times to the eastern parts of Germany in those years after the capitulation of 1945. And as you know, I have been to Moscow a few weeks ago, and I have been struck that the same fear which we are accustomed to on the western side of the Iron Curtain over against the eastern world, that this same fear is in the same way existent in the eastern world, if I am not totally mistaken. And I am very struck of this fact, which is not only the impression which you receive from political persons in the East who are struck by fear from the West, but that this relates even to the Church.
Well, that is certainly a very tragic situation. And in this situation, Mr. Nuveen, how does it strike you we might get some exit from it?
Well, certainly the one thing that we are looking for more than anything else is to find a way to peace. And as we approach the problem of the principal contendant which we have in this world, which is Russia, we must assume, I suppose, one of two attitudes. Either Russia is bent on world imperialism by whatever means that she can employ and is out to secure this dominance with all the effort that she has, or she is merely seeking for a way of peace herself, and all that she has done has been done in an effort to defend herself against what she suspects is imperialism on the part of the United States. And depending on whether we take one attitude or the other, it makes a difference in what our approach should be.
Yes, well, now, here we have this most terrible paradox. that no one in Europe, no one in the rest of the world, seems to want war. The evidence that we have from Mr. Niemöller, from his visit to Russia and his talks with the Patriarch, lead us in that direction. Nobody on our side certainly wants war. But in this situation, with nobody wanting war, and yet both sides prepared for it, what can we look forward to? Do you think that war solves anything, Mr. Niemöller?
Personally, I am convinced, according to the experiences of the two so-called world wars we have had in our century, that war is no longer an instrument, as it was in former times, which brings about a solution of a real problem and a question in such a way that it will become a solution for a longer time. The instrument, as far as I can see it, is no longer usable, and we have to think for other instruments to solve our problems and difficulties.
I would say that war has always left a trail of misery and problems behind it. But the real problem that we face today is the problem of finding a way to win the peace. We have come to rely too much on our ability to use material things to win wars, but we haven't found a way to translate spiritual and moral laws into practical programs for winning the peace.
Well, that's true. We attempted to translate moral and spiritual programs through the Charter of the United Nations. We have seen in the space of 6 or 7 years how difficult it is to run the United Nations without relying upon diplomatic practices, the threat of force, the sending of forces to various parts of the world, and the use of the tactics of the balance of power within that very forum. If this, what seemed to be the last best hope of the world, has been found to be a weak instrument, what on earth can we look to as some alternative?
Well, as I find the situation in every instance where we have come up against Russia, she seems to be bent on following her program and not willing to cooperate. Maybe it's because she doesn't understand our motives, but it seems to me that she is bent on world domination and by an imperialistic campaign. And if that's the case, even though war is terrible, there may eventually be no other alternative except to be prepared for it in any case.
This situation appears to have caused a division of Germany into two, into West Germany and to East Germany. Let us leave aside for one moment that Western Germany is occupied by three powers, but the great distinction in Germany today is the existence of a West German state and the existence of an East German state under the domination of Soviet Russia. Now, is there anything that we might do in that situation to begin to untangle this mutual set of recriminations leading up to fear, hysteria, war preparations?
The situation is rather difficult and very much entangled, but you can do two things in an entangled situation. You can disentangle the situation, or you can even more entangle such a situation. For the moment, I personally don't see any possibility of disentangling this situation as a special problem in itself. I think that the question of Eastern and Western Germany is a question in the whole setup and framework of general world politics. But we can easily contribute to make things even more complicated and to entangle them even more than they are now. And I think it is a good thing in politics not only to think about how things can be improved, but at the same time to look after the duty that we don't become guilty of making things even more difficult than they are now. The Western world and the Western German population cannot reject the responsibility for these 21 million people living behind the Iron Curtain under Russian grip.
I think we would agree with you. The only thing is, it might well be that in our efforts to satisfy the rightful dignity and aspirations of the 21 million Germans in Eastern Germany, we might in the West, and I'm thinking of the whole Western world, make such arrangements as to injure the prospect of peace all over the world. Have you anything to say on this particular aspect, Nuveen?
Yes, I'm wondering what Pastor Niemöller thinks could be our next step toward solving the problem that we find with a divided Germany.
Yes, according to what I said just now, would be that we ought, or that the Western powers ought to refrain from any steps which could make the gulf and the abyss between those states, willingly or unwillingly, being on different sides of the Iron Curtain, deeper than it needs to be. Here we are facing the question of rearming Western Germany, for instance. What can it help, and how far will it more entangle the whole situation and become a much more heavier a burden to those people living behind the Iron Curtain from our part?
Do you believe the position would be eased if Germany were disarmed and put under some permanent form of a guarantee of its unarmed neutrality?
Naturally, this depends not only on Germany. As far as Germany and the German people are concerned, they would stand any situation which would seem feasible and to be recommended in the interest of the whole world and its peoples. But it depends for the greater part on the agreement of the great powers. And therefore, I don't believe that anything real can be done without such a sort of an agreement. And
Then, in your effort to produce a disentanglement, a fastening upon the one thread of the armament or disarmament of Germany and the position of East Germany is no real help to us, because as soon as we want to untangle that thread from this terrible skein, then you immediately move away from that and say, well, it depends upon the whole contour of our politics and what the great powers are prepared to do.
Sure. But one thing you can do separately, you can, in a separate way, by handling the situation in Germany, more entangle the situation than it is now. And I'm thinking of rearming the Western German population, or taking out 12 or 15 divisions of this part of the country, and certainly the Russians will take similar steps, not rearming those people in Eastern Germany, who certainly will not be reliable soldiers for the Eastern powers, but by just taking away manpower for forced labor in the mines of Upper Silesia, for building railroads in Poland and Russia, and for working in the war plants of armament and similar things, to make up for the balance. And such an action from the western part, and accordingly from the eastern part of the world, would make even for a greater tension than we are facing now.
Yeah, but Newbean, don't you think that there is, although that's a great disadvantage, don't you think that there's a great advantage on the western side that we have proceeded as we have, namely in the direction of 50 or 60 or 70 divisions in western Germany with all the forces of the North Atlantic nations behind them?
Well, it seems so to me. Being very practical about it, it is a fact that Russia has built up tremendous forces. In fact, she never demobilized her army. And we, in good faith, in the West, did demobilize. We demobilized too quickly and too completely. And we find ourselves at a tremendous disadvantage because of the terror which Russia can incite in the Western nations because of her overwhelming superior force. And that the only way that we can get to a point where we can talk about the problems on a realistic basis is that we can have some balance of power that would give us a chance to sit down and, at least if we cannot discuss from superiority, we can discuss from a position of equality rather than from inferiority. The problem that I see is that if we were to go ahead with not to arm Western Germany, but to disarm Western Germany so as to create a neutral German nation, I'm afraid there's not going to be enough left in the rest of Europe that Russia would need to fear anything to stop her.
Yes, but I'm quite sure that you are working with not usable instruments in this case, insofar as The additional manpower which can be taken from Western Germany will immediately be made up for by the Russians on their part.
But it can't
the
be, can it?
The balance will not be changed.
Yes, but the balance of population is very different, isn't it? 2-1 in favor of the West?
Yes, it is, but I think that where the Western powers can take out from Western Germany one man, the Russian may take out at the same time from Eastern Germany two men, and because the system is a different one.
Well, I think we would have an advantage technically, too, in the West with our whole system of production.
And isn't there another point to be related to both of these? Namely, that it is not only the question of raising armies in Western Germany that concerns the rest of the world. It is the fact that they are there, that they are geographically there, that they are therefore at close quarters with the Soviet if she should wish to attack, and that the whole of West Germany is in a way a territorial addition or extension of the bases and power, not only of the United States, but a protection for Britain, France, Italy, and the other countries.